With that, it is our honor to invite Sayyid Haider Jamaluddin from the United Kingdom. He is going to be addressing the believers and speaking about Islam is the religion of resistance. We invite him with a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdu wa thana lillahi rabbil alameen. Ba'ith al-anbiya'i wal-mursaleen bari'il khala'iq yajma'een. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وشفيع ذنوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا الذي سمي في السماء بأحمد وسمي في الأرضين بأبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين المظلومين المستشهدين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين إمامنا القائم عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم وهو أحكم القائلين وأبصر الناظرين، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما لكم لا تقاتلون في سبيل الله والمستضعفين من الرجال والنساء والولدان الذين يقولون ربنا أخرجنا من هذه القرية الظالم أهلها واجعل لنا من لدنك وليا واجعل لنا من لدنك نصيرا. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
For the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, please say aloud as salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajah.
For the love of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib, please recite a second salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajah.
And for the love of Sayyidatina Fatima al-Zahra, please recite the loudest salawat that you possibly can. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We start by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu. We thank Him and we praise Him and we seek His help for being able to gather on a night as holy as tonight, one of the holy nights of Islam, the Thursday night, in which they say that sins are doubled and blessings are doubled. So let's try, inshallah, to double our blessings and not double our sins, inshallah. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to be in one of those gatherings that Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says he loves. The gatherings in which we recite his ahadith, the gatherings in which we remember the Ahlul Bayt and we live in their traditions. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for placing us in a city and on a path in which we are able to recognize the truth from falsehood with such ease. It's not as easy everywhere, anywhere else. Alhamdulillah. So please recite a salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. The verse I recited at the beginning is one of the verses that we've probably been very acquainted with from the beginning, from October 7th until now. And that is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He says, why should you not fight? He's asking the mu'mineen, why are you not fighting? Of course, remember, brothers and sisters, fighting isn't just by the sword. Fighting is with everything you have at in your capacity. He says, why should you not fight in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the oppressed men, women and children who say, our Lord, bring us out of this town whose people are oppressors and appoint for us a guardian from yourself and appoint for us a helper from yourself. This is one of the verses that our resistance has been using on many multiple occasions. We see that on multiple occasions they've been using this and showing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called them forth. This called them and has chosen them to go and embark on such a path. But this wasn't the topic that I was planning to discuss. Our discussion today will be based mainly on the seerah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the traditions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how we can adhere to that while being resistant. First of all, we have to understand what resistance means. You know, many of us, we see the movies and we see that, you know, there's games or stuff like that, and they're like, oh, you know, you're part of the resistance now, you know, join, take up arms, you know? Mainly these resistance, of course, we're not talking about Western media or anything like that. This is completely useless, as we all know. That mainly we see that in that sense that they're mentioning it, it's mainly in defense of their land, for example, or in defense of, I don't know, political autonomy or so on and so forth, these kinds of things. But what does resistance mean in the holy religion of Islam, the divine religion of Islam? The religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. As the final religion, so that it could be the one that dominates over all other religions. What does it mean in this religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed upon us? In Islam, we see that resistance means that it doesn't mean just protecting your land. Of course, this is a part of resistance. It doesn't mean protecting your political interests. It doesn't just mean that, of course. It means also protecting justice and establishing justice on earth. It means establishing that human dignity that all humans are entitled to. It means protecting the rights of those who are oppressed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, He says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد أرسلنا رسلنا بالبينات وأنزلنا معهم الكتاب والميزان ليقوم الناس بالقسط. He says, we have certainly sent the apostles. This is Surah Hadid, verse 25. Certainly we have sent our messengers, we've sent our apostles with manifest proofs. And we sent them with the book and the balance of justice, so that the mankind may rise for the sake of justice. So when we say resistance, brothers and sisters, it doesn't mean that, oh, you know, we're just going to protect our land just because that's happening in that corner of the world. Doesn't mean it's got anything to do with us. As Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi mentions in Nahj al-Balagha, he says, "Kun lil-zalimi khasman wa lil-mazlumi auna." For the tullab here, we understand that the word, this hadith completely is mutlaq. It doesn't mean kun lil-zalim al, I don't know, Yahudi khasman, or kun lil-mazlum al-shi'i auna. It doesn't mean, it's not specific to a Shia who is mazlum. It's not specific to a Jew who is an oppressor. The Imam himself is saying here, in anywhere that you see injustice, be a supporter to the one who is oppressed, and be a enemy to the one who is the oppressor. Elsewhere we see that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, he says, أَفْضَلُ الْجِهَادِ كَلِمَةُ حَقٍ عِنْدَ سُلْطَانٍ جَائِرٍ. The best of jihad, the best kind of jihad, is uttering the word of truth before the oppressive ruler, before the oppressive sultan. What does this mean? This doesn't mean that we just, you know, sit in our little humble homes and, you know, just sit down and, you know, speak with our little circles. And then, of course, it's important to observe taqiyya in its own rightful place as well. Don't get me wrong in this situation. It's important to observe taqiyya in some situations. But on the other hand, Rasulullah is saying that the best of jihads, the best kind of jihad that you can go forward and perform is what? Is standing up to the oppressor in his face and saying, you're wrong here, you should not be doing so. And of course, this is the smallest kind of the best jihad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Holy Quran, please recite salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
I think the cherry on the top here is the ayah of the Holy Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives His stamp of approval to any kind of resistance against oppression. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim, أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى نَصْرِهِمْ لَقَدِيرٌ. It's a hadith, it's a verse we've seen constantly in the Lebanese resistance. Every single one of their, I believe their announcements and their statements, they mention this one ayah of the Holy Quran. It says, those who are fought against are permitted to fight. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving them the stamp of approval. If they attack you, you attack them back. Normal, self-defense. Because they have been wronged and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed able to help them. This part at the end, it's very important where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He's able to help. Inshallah, we'll discuss this as one of the traditions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in this case that we're saying that if we are wronged, then we can fight back. If we are oppressed, then we can defend ourselves. If we are oppressed, then we may resist. Does this mean, in any case, can we say that our souls are greater than the soul of Islam or the spirit of Islam? I don't think so. Islam is something greater than all of us put together. Islam is the uniting factor between us all. So, if we are seeing that Islam and the Muslimin are being oppressed, what should we do? This hair also puts that stamp of approval onto the actions of what we see going on. And our resistance, may Allah protect them. Please recite a salawat for their protection and their victory. I believe it was a quote from Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh. He says that, I'm not going to say the Farsi because I have no idea what the Farsi is at the current moment, but he says that this Islamic Republic is greater and everyone must give their lives. And if Imam Zaman, ajalallahu ta'ala faraja sharif, was to be here present today, he too would give his life for this establishment, for this government. Now, a lot of people, they like to take Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi's words and, you know, misportray it, make it seem, oh, look, they're saying the Jumhuri Islami is greater than, you know, is greater than Imam Zaman's life. And, you know, making a big fuss like always. But if we look into it, we see that the Imam did the same thing their whole lives. For the sake of the establishment of the Islamic government and the Islamic and pure Muhammadan Islam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. For the establishment of such an establishment, the Imams put their lives on the line. Further than the Imams, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi put his life on the line. If we read into the Battle of Badr, the Battle of Uhud, Rasulullah had no more than 9 people around him. Yet he stood firm on that battlefield, ready to give his life for the sake of that Islamic government that he had established. Who do we see in front of him? Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. And then Amir al-Mu'mineen further on, what do we see in the battles of Nahrawan, the battles of Siffin, the battles of Jamal? Always on the front line, at the front, ready to defend Islam even if it meant his own life. Means, brothers and sisters, that this thing that we're fighting for, this thing that we're going forward to protect, it's not something small, it's something that even the Imam himself is willing to give his life for. And we mustn't fall for the misconstruing of the words of our great ulama, especially one like Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh. Please recite a salawat for his soul.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Of course, on top of all of this, above all of this, I think all of us understand that the most ultimate stand for Islam was none other than that of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. It was the ultimate symbol of resistance in Islam. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, what does he see? He says in his, one could say even his manifesto of why he's going out to fight against Yazid, he says in his letter to Muhammad al-Hanafiyyah, what does he say? إِنِّي لَمْ أَخْرُجْ أَشِرًا وَلَا بَطِرًا وَلَا مُفْسِدًا وَلَا ظَالِمًا إِنَّمَا خَرَجْتُ لِطَلَبِ الْإِصْلَاحِ فِي أُمَّةِ جَدِّي مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ. What does he say? He says, I have not left as a person of mischief. I have not left as a tyrant. I have not left as a person to cause corruption, nor have I left as an oppressor. And then he uses the word innama, innama for those of us who've studied you know, adabiyat, we know that innama means only and only I have left my city. The only and the sole reason I have left my city is to bring that reform about in the ummah of my grandfather Rasulullah. This is resistance, brothers and sisters. This is resistance incarnate. Wherever you see that the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the followers of the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are being oppressed, you go there and you make sure you try to reform it. Of course, the Imam himself had a much greater role as the Imam of the community, as we have our Imam now, alhamdulillah, above our heads. And I think it's embodied and manifested in this one poem that people have written. They've attributed it wrongly to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, but it's Zaban-e-Hal. We're talking about how we think that Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam might have felt at that time. It says, إن كان دين محمد لا يستقيم إلا بقتلي فيا سيف فيا سيوف خذيني. If it isn't except for my blood that the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi would be established and would be firm and steadfast, then O swords, come and take me. Of course, as I'm saying, this is not the actual saying of Imam al-Husayn, this is the Zaban-e-Hal. But it encapsulates the spirit of Karbala in that, regardless of anything that I must give, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's religion and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the followers of his religion, will stay, then I'm willing to give whatever it means. This is the cause of resistance. This is what we see in our shuhada throughout our history. We see it in the history, in the shuhada of Imam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, the shuhada of Imam Ali alayhi salam's time, going all the way to Difa Muqaddas, which is the Hafta Difa Muqaddas now. We see it in the Mudafi'in of the Haram, we see it in the shuhada of Lebanon from 2006, from 1982 all the way to 2006. We see it in the shuhada of Palestine just now, the shuhada of Lebanon just now, willing to give anything that they have for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please say salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, Islam means being part of something greater than yourselves. The self means hardly anything in Islam. A very small part of Islam is your ibadat. Of course, you must do your ibadat. You must make sure that you establish that part of your life. But a greater part in Islam is the societal part of it. The part that I am not the one that matters, it's the we that matters. And this is encapsulated in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Salla ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum. He says, مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَوَادِّهِمْ وَتَعَاطُفِهِمْ وَتَرَاحُمِهِمْ مَثَلُ الْجَسَدِ إِذَا اشْتَكَى مِنْهُ عَضْمٌ تَدَاعَى سَائِرُ الْجَسَدِ بِالسَّهَرِ وَالْحُمَّى. He says, the example of the believers in the case of when they are together, in their affection together, in their flexibility together, in their mercy between each other, is like that of a body. When one part of the body complains because of some pain, the rest of the body responds how? With fever and with staying up all night and not being able to sleep and restlessness, essentially. This is how the Muslimin are supposed to be. If we do not feel like that, brothers and sisters, I think we should doubt in the fact of us being Muslims, let alone mu'mineen. If we see the scenes coming out of Lebanon, we see the scenes coming out of Palestine, we see the scenes coming out of Yemen, and we don't feel that pain, we don't feel like we can't sleep, we don't feel this upset, then you should doubt in your own existence, in your own status as a Muslim. And we see this in the Palestinians today. I was going through some videos from Palestine that had just come out. And the people of Gaza, subhanAllah, look at how the people of Gaza are feeling towards the people of Lebanon. The people of Gaza, 350 days plus being bombarded by Israel. May Allah's curses be upon them. Bombarded day after day after day, seeing their fathers, their mothers, their sisters, their aunties, their brothers, their children being murdered. Yet what do they say when they see the scenes that are coming out of Lebanon? It's a very beautiful video. There's a video, it's a compilation of the people of Gaza saying how sorry they are and ashamed they are that the people of Lebanon are undergoing such difficulties because of them. إذا اشتكى منه عضو تداعى سائر الجسد بالسهر والحمى. That is true Islam, brothers and sisters. A bomb falls on his house, what does he say? Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Allah is enough for us. He's the one who will take care of everything. Somebody's mother passes away. Somebody's mother gets blown up into pieces that can't even be retrieved. What does he say? He says, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. All praises to Allah on every single situation that we have, that we are in. It's an understanding, brothers and sisters, that we only aspire to reach in the Hawza. An understanding that everything that we do and everything that we have belongs to Allah. You know, one day it will be here, one day it won't be here. But in the meantime, everything belongs to Him and everything to Him shall return. And all praises shall go back to Him. Please say salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And what we see is that amongst these resistance groups is the willingness to sacrifice themselves just for this sake. We see that over the last few weeks, how many of the leaders of the resistance have been martyred? I can count maybe 4 or 5 that have been made shahid in just the last week, willing to give their lives and put their lives on the line. Now, one thing that I've seen, and I personally I've seen, is that perhaps maybe a feeling of despair or a sense of despair is entering the hearts, you know. Every time that, you know, one resistance leader falls, we start to think, oh. And then another one falls and we start to sink even more into the pit of the bottomless abyss of despair. Another one is martyred and we sink further. And another one dies and we sink further. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this in the Holy Quran. And we see this throughout the history of Islam, is that whenever the commanders were made shaheed, what happened? There was always one to take his place. If not more than one. In the Battle of Uhud, what happened? Sayyidina Hamza, Sayyidina Shuhada, he was martyred. One of the greatest commanders of Islam was martyred. Mus'ab ibn Umayr, one of the greatest companions of the Prophet, the flag bearer of Islam, falls on the battlefield. The Muslims still stay. But then what happens when they hear this rumor that suddenly, has Rasulullah been killed? They hear this rumor on the battlefield that Rasulullah has been killed. And some of the companions, you know, we all know who they are. Some of the companions, they start to run from the battlefield. And they start to worry. So a man named Anas ibn Nadr, he sees these people running away. He catches them. He says, why are you running? They said, well, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa has been killed. And he says, Muhammad may have been killed, but Muhammad's Lord is still alive. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compounds this point. He compounds the point in Surah Ali Imran, in which he says, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ عَقَابِكُمْ. This Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa that is here, he's nothing but a messenger of me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, he's nothing but my messenger. So if he is to die, or if he is to be killed, many messengers have come before him. So if he dies, will you go and run away? It's very important that we don't lose track of the main objective, brothers and sisters. Yes, our resistance leaders are being martyred. And yes, it is a painful thing to bear, to know that one after the other they are dropping. This is the beginning of their eternal life, brothers and sisters, as well. We mustn't forget that as well. After Hajj Qasim, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, passed away, what do we see afterwards? So many resistance leaders came up and took on the mantle of course, big shoes to fill, very big shoes to fill. But they will be filled because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined that they will be filled. Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi says something very interesting. He says کشوری از رفتن شخصیت‌های خود تزلزل پیدا می‌کند که ملت او و افراد اون ملت دل به شخص و اشخاص بسته باشند. He said a country will only shake when its people are killed, when its individuals and its characters are killed, when that country's eyes and the people's eyes are attached to the individuals, not the goal. He also, I believe in the same quote, he says, خب رجایی که از دنیا رفته، رجایی که شهید شده، بهشتی که شهید شده، خدایشون شهید نشده. He's saying the same exact verse of the Holy Quran. He's saying, yeah, perhaps رجایی may have been martyred, perhaps باهانر may have been martyred, perhaps بهشتی may have been martyred, but that God has not been martyred. So don't worry about the fact that they are dying. Don't worry about the fact that they are leaving this world because their Lord has not died. I believe there was a quote that was going around as well from Imam Khomeini as well, in which he says that in order for America to win, they have to take God out of the equation. And they cannot do that, so we are always victorious. Salla ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjal farjahum.
Please recite a second salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And another quote from Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi. He says, "Bokoshid mara millat ma bidar tar mi shavad." He said, "If you keep killing us, we're just going to become more aware. It's not like you're going to kill us and you're going to kill the ideology with the person. The ideology will remain." Again, please say third salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So we see that right now, the biggest mistake that the Zionist regime has made is to enter the war in Gaza. Like always, they've underestimated the resistance. They've underestimated those whose eyes are attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not attached to individuals. If they were attached to individuals, our commander who was martyred in Tehran just a few months ago, that's it. The resistance would have just sat down and said, you know what, the commander's gone, we're finished. But no, their eyes are on the goal. This is one mistake that the Zionist regime has made in underestimating who the resistance is. And now they're stuck within a damned if they do, damned if they don't situation. If they do end up going and they do end up achieving all their goals, which they definitely won't, and we know they won't. As Rahbar just said in the video, they can't achieve their goals, so now they're just taking it out on the people. If they achieve their goal, then they create a legend out of the people of Palestine, a himase, a martyr. And if they withdraw, what happens? Weakness. They're shown as the weakest army in the region. You couldn't even, you know, you couldn't fight a bunch of rago Arabs in their t-shirts, you know, hiding out in these little holes. You couldn't beat them. How are you going to defeat any of the other armies of the region? How are you going to defeat Hezbollah from the north? It's not possible. It's funny because it reminded me of a time when the Rahbar was talking about the US, I believe, withdrawing either from Afghanistan or Iraq. And he mentioned they're like a fox with its tail trapped, with its tail caught in a trap. If they are to stay there, they're going to eventually die. But if they move, they're going to go and they're going to rip their whole tail off. صلى على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
One of the divine promises that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives is that His patience, brothers and sisters. Patience in that you are steadfast. Unfortunately, we translate the word sabr always to patience. Patience in this means patience, sabr means patience coupled with tawakkul. You have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you move forward with Allah's trust, and then once you reach that closed door, you have that tawakkul that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fix it. You have the sabr first, sorry, and then when you reach the closed door, you say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wheel is in your hands. Once you've done everything you can, of course, it's not like you just let Allah take the wheel and you just go. That way you're just gonna lose. So we see that we have to have that sabr first, keep the steadfastness, and then after that you give that tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you reach that closed door, that He will open that door for you. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever has taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He'll let you give him a way out, don't worry. The verse I wanted to mention was from Surah Ali Imran, verse 200. He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أُصْبِرُوا إِصْبَرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. O you who have faith, be patient, stand firm, and close your ranks, and be wary of Allah so that you may be felicitous and prosper. Again, one of the other things that we keep hearing is, oh, you know, when is Iran going to take the revenge? When is Iran going to do this? You know, let's go hit them hard. Brothers and sisters, one thing that we have to remember is that we have to have our eyes on the leadership. Keep your eyes on the leadership, because I'm pretty sure they know the situation a little bit better than we do. Maybe just a little bit, of course. No, we don't want to humble ourselves too much. But the fact is, we have to make sure, brothers and sisters, that we don't start talking and we don't start rallying and, you know, rallying people against, oh, you know, why they're not doing this, why they're not doing that. You know, sit down, have some, take a breather first. Have some basira, have some insight, see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wanting from you in this situation. And then when you have that insight, don't jump up and down, just go forward calmly. Sallallahu alayhi Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The next divine tradition that I wanted to mention was one that I referred to a bit earlier. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, this is unrelated, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ تَفَسَّحُوا فِي الْمَجَالِسِ فَفْسَحُوا يَفْسَحَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. O you who have faith, when you are told make room in gatherings, then do make room. Allah will make room for you. Could I ask everyone to come forward a little bit further? For the Lord of the Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salama Muhammad Please recite a second salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salala Muhammad. It goes back to the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in which He says, Inna Allah ala nasrihim laqadir. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran, He says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu in tansurullah yansurkum wa yuthabbit aqdamakum. In Surah Muhammad verse 7 sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. We see this on multiple occasions that, brothers and sisters, when you stand firm, when you stand and you are willing to lay your life on that line, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not just going to, you know, khali ne mikone. You know, he won't leave you standing on nothing. We see this in the Battle of Badr. In the Battle of Badr, they say that Rasulullah sent Imam Ali alayhi salam to retrieve water from the wells. And on the way from the wells, he's coming back, and then the first gust of wind comes and he has to take refuge. And the wind stops. So he goes again. The second time the wind comes, it stops. Then he goes again. The wind comes again. He stops again. And then when he reaches the camp, Rasulullah, he asks, why did you come so late? And he says, you know, there were these winds. And Rasulullah says, do you know what those winds are? And Imam Ali alayhi salam says, Allah and His Messenger know better. Rasulullah says that the first wind was 1,000 angels descending with Jibra'il. Jibreel descending with 1,000 of his soldiers. The second wind was Israfil descending with 1,000 of his soldiers. And the third wind was Mikael descending with 1,000 of his soldiers. And they say that there are first-hand narrations from the Battle of Badr itself, in that the soldiers of Kufr, they were saying that when we saw them, we would see these swords just come out of nowhere, these horses come out of nowhere, and they would just come and strike us down just like that. Reminds us of another story. During 2006 in Lebanon, very often we hear all of these stories. Perhaps sometimes we start to think, oh, you know what, it's not true. But trust me, with what we've seen from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the past, from what we've seen from our imma, from what we've seen throughout our lives, we understand that this has to be the truth. The soldiers of the Zionist regime, they're saying that we were just standing there and suddenly we would see these swords and these horses come out of nowhere and just strike us down. From nowhere. There's another story. For example, in the same battle, two of the soldiers of the resistance, they went to the house of one of the old ladies in the area in the south of Lebanon. And they asked her, can you get Hajia, can you give us some water? And she's like, I can give you two some water, but I don't know what I'm going to do about all the people behind you. He says, the Mujahid, he's like, what people? We're only two people. She's like, what are you talking about? There's all these luminous faces behind you, all these people behind you. They look around, they're like, no, it's just us two. She was seeing the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She was seeing those people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent down to go forward and to fight in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I love stories, so I'm going to mention one more. Peace be upon him, salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Ayatollah Ray Shahri, rahmatullah alayh, he narrates the story from the Sayyid of the Resistance 3 months after the end of the war. And he says that they were having an iftari together, and he says, how did the war end? Ayatollah Ray Shahri asks the Sayyid, how did the war end? And he says, all of it was through Sayyidah Fatima alayhi salam. All of it was through our mother. And Ayatollah Ray Shahri was a bit taken aback. He said, what does this mean? So he says that he says that Israel had made no progress in the war, and 1,000 of our men were resisting 40,000 of theirs. And eventually they realized they had no impasse into our land. So what they started to do is they started to send their helicarriers into our land and dropping their soldiers in behind our ranks to create a problem for us. And these helicarriers were such that they couldn't be seen in the darkness of the night, and they were quiet, completely quiet and stealthy. So, Hajj Abu al-Fadl, he narrates, he was the one who is telling the story. He says that as he was opening his fast in the month, they were doing in the month of Rajab, there was mustahab fasts. As they were opening their fast, he went to the other room to recite Maghrib, to pray Maghrib and Aisha. And in that time, he says, I don't know whether I fell asleep or whether I was awake. He said, but suddenly, I did shafa'a with Sayyidah Fatima. And I looked over to the left, to the right of the room, and I see that she was standing there. She was standing there in the corner of the room. He goes to her and he asks her, please, Sayyidah Fatima, help us. She says, we're with you, don't worry, we're helping you. He says, look, we need the help now. She says, don't worry, we're helping you. To the left of Sayyidah Fatima, he sees Sayyidah Zainab alayhi salam. And he realizes, she's seen more pain. She's seen more trouble. Surely she wouldn't want to see us in such trouble as well. So he goes to Sayyidah Zainab and asks for her shafa'ah, to Sayyidah Fatima to ask for her shafa'ah. So he asks Sayyidah Zainab, and Sayyidah Zainab says to Sayyidah Fatima, and Sayyidah Fatima says, don't worry, it will be done. She removes a yellow handkerchief from her chadar. She pulls out, she throws it in the air, and she says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Sufa Yuf'al. It will be done. He wakes up, he comes back to his state, and he goes to the other room where the other commanders are doing the iftar, and suddenly they receive a call. And they say that one of the biggest and one of the most major helicarriers in the area has been shot down. Now again, they start to wonder and they start to think, what happened? Because it's 15 minutes later, the news is not going to reach immediately. So they ask them what time the helicarrier was shot down, and they see it was exactly the same time that Sayyidah Fatima throws his handkerchief in the air. Now, very interestingly, they get the account from the person who shot down the helicarrier. What does he say? He says, I was in a room when I felt a strong urge to pick up this RPG and go outside. I went out and I felt as if the missile was guiding me itself. I couldn't see anything in the sky, he says, but the missile itself was guiding. He says, I fired the missile without even being conscious and being willing to fire that missile. And suddenly I saw the sky catch fire. And I saw the helicarrier and its crew falling to the ground. Imdad al-Ghaybi is not something small. This is something that is constantly being seen in every single war. In every single war in which we see that the right side is truly the right, and the wrong side is truly the wrong, and the jabahat are clearly distinguished. This is one of the sunnahs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that He will not leave His people without help. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And finally, the final sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I wanted to mention is the sunnah of toppling the idols. And the reason I call it this is because it reminds me of the time, and we see in our seerah of Rasulullah, that once the conquest of Mecca takes place, what does he do? He says to Ali ibn Abi Talib, Amir al-Mu'mineen, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi, he says, get on my shoulders. What does Amir al-Mu'mineen say? He says, I feel ashamed to go on your shoulders, Ya Rasulullah. He says, no, don't worry. You won't be able to carry my weight, the weight of revelation. But you come and stand on my shoulders. At that point, Amir al-Mu'mineen stands on the shoulders of the Prophet and he topples all of the idols in the Kaaba. And what does this symbolize? This symbolizes the complete and absolute victory of truth over falsehood. Sallallahu alayhi wa Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And this is something mentioned in the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Anbiya. وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ. That my righteous servants, we've mentioned this in the Zabur of Prophet Dawood, after the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we will inherit and we will give this earth as an inheritance and a legacy to those who are righteous. And this is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَنْ يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ. Allah does not break His promises. It's a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that after all of this tragedy and after all of these problems and after all of these difficulties, we will finally be the victors. Perhaps it might not come in our lifetime. May Allah bring us back with the Imam. Perhaps it might not happen in our lifetime, but perhaps we can contribute to the reappearance of the Imam and the realization of this mirath, of this legacy coming to the Imma. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Just like Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh. Unfortunately, he won't be here to witness the reappearance of the Imam. Definitely, perhaps, we can't say definitely, but very likely he will come back with the Imam. But he did something that brought the reappearance of Imam al-Zaman, ajalallah ta'ala farajah al-sharif, many, many years closer. Had this revolution not taken place, who knows where we would have been. Who knows? If you look back at the history, into the history books, you would have seen that Shiaism was on the back foot back then. All that would have remained in Shiaism is what we see in Azerbaijan right now. You know, like a very faint remainder, you know, stay in your home, don't do majalis, don't do this, don't do that. Zionist Shiaism, essentially. But will this come? Will this come without us suffering? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says exactly the opposite in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 214. He says, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَثَلَ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَزُلْزِلُوا. This word is very important. وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولُ الرَّسُولَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ أَلَا إِنَّ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ. He says, do you think you're going to enter heaven without experiencing what the people before you have experienced? They were afflicted with difficulties. They were afflicted with calamities. And very important, the word zulzilu, they were shaken like earthquakes. Their faith was shaken to such an extent. Hatta yaqulu ar-rasulu wal-ladhina amanu ma'ahu, until a point where even the Prophet and the believers who surrounded him said, when is the help of Allah going to come? Even the Prophet himself. Ala inna nasrullahi qareeb. Verily, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is close. As Imam Ali alayhi salam says, he says, وَلَا تَغَرْبَلُنَّ غَرْبَلَةً. You will be sieved and shaken and shaken and shaken until finally those who are at the bottom will be taken to the top, and those who are at the top will be taken to the bottom. Rasulullah, he also says that in the akhir zaman, holding on to your religion will be like holding on to hot coals. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during these testing times to allow us to remain steadfast on the path of our imma, to remain steadfast on the path of the Ahlul Bayt, to remain steadfast on the path of wilaya. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us steadfast on the path of Imam al-Mahdi and to do whatever it takes to bring him back, whether it means our lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant relief to the oppressed in Gaza, to the oppressed in the West Bank, to the oppressed in Lebanon, to the oppressed in Yemen, to the oppressed wherever they may be. Perhaps we should add to the oppressed in America, to the oppressed in the UK as well, to the oppressed in Europe. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the reappearance of Imam al-Zaman, ajalullah ta'ala farajah al-sharif. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala muhammadin wa alihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin.